Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Va a llegar el gol del Arsenal. Ozil marca. Mesut Ozil,
centro de Ozil.
¡Qué valor!
Gol de Kieran Gibbs tras un extraordinario, espectacular centro de Mesut Ozil.
This is Arscast Extra.
Hello there, welcome to another Arscast Extra, as always with James from Gunnerblog. Goodly morning to you.
There we go. That's
there
the
it
catchphrase.
Is.
Get it in early.
Yeah, we've got it. You know, making it a thing now.
One for the fans.
Mm. How's it going?
Well, Christmas merchandise coming out with
yes.
that on it.
Yes, goodly morning baby grows and everything, yeah.
I'm well. How are you?
I'm okay. I've got a smashed phone, which is annoying. But apart from that,
how
I'm
did
fine.
That happen?
I don't know. It was in my back pocket and I was sitting on a chair and then I took the phone out of my back pocket and... And I looked at it and it's got that whole crack right at the sort of top and it's all spider webby and shit. So now I've got to find somewhere in Dublin city centre that fixes a Nexus 6 screen. So
interesting.
Yes.
Interesting.
It's not that
I would have had you down as an Apple man.
No, I mean, computer's all Apple, but I haven't had an iPhone for years. Not years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And yet we still get on.
Yeah, I know. It's like the butter and jam of mobile phone technology.
In a way. So another good football weekend, it seemed to me.
Yes, another good football weekend. Before we get on to that, I suppose we should mention that the Champions League draw is taking place this morning. As we speak, the Baldy guy has started his stuff already, I believe. So
yeah.
At some point, we're going to react live to the Champions League draw. The possibilities.
I mean, they do like to drag these things out, don't they? So we could be here for some time.
Yeah, it could be the longest podcast ever. But hey, you know, people get value for money that way. So the possibilities True. Are Barcelona, Real Madrid, Atletico Madrid, Zenit St. Petersburg, or Wolfsburg, where we could face McBenaw.
Of course. I mean, to be honest, though, I think the possibilities mainly are Barcelona.
And Barcelona.
Yeah, that's how I see this going.
Yeah, me too. But hey, look, I mean, it's interesting. And look, we should be glad that we're there, right?
We should be. We very, very nearly weren't.
Mm.
And of course, always enjoyable that Manchester United aren't.
Yes.
So there's that.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we couldn't necessarily enjoy that in the moment last week because obviously we were yet to play Olympiacos, and you know, there's a part of me that goes, well, it doesn't make any difference if you laugh at them now, it won't make any difference to what happens to us. But you know, of course, if Giroud hadn't done what he did and scored that hat trick, then you know, your laughter doesn't last as long.
True. He who laughs the longest laughs the loudest.
And for more time and with greater volume.
Exactly. That's the old saying. Mm. I'll be honest, I laughed heartily at Manchester United, irrespective of our game. I didn't think we would pull it off, to be honest, in Olympiacos, but I thought I'm going to seize this opportunity to laugh at Manchester United nonetheless. I think when they come around, you've got to make the most of them.
How did you go about doing that? I mean, did you call up some friends who are Manchester United fans, or did you take to Twitter, as they say?
I took to Twitter like a swan landing gracefully on the water amidst a sea of angry Manchester United fans. I did that thing where everything I said about Man U, I put hashtag MUFC so that I knew that all their fans following that hashtag would see it and it would irritate them. Oh, speaking of Twitter,
yeah,
what about you getting a retweet from Tottenham's own Dele Alli?
That was a bit weird. He's since undone the retweet. He's unretweeted it, but he retweeted the tweet I made yesterday about Mesut Ozil and David Moyes. And then quite a large number of Tottenham fans were at him going, what are you doing? You fucking madman. You're retweeting a Woolwich account, is what one of them said.
Woolwich, yeah.
Woolwich,
let that go from 100 years ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good to know that, you know, we might have a spy in the camp, as it were.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. It's quite funny, isn't it? You know, people losing their reason on Twitter. I've never seen it happen before, to be honest. But
no. But have you ever retweeted a Spurs account, though?
I don't think so. I don't know. Maybe Harry Hotspur did something funny about Redknapp once or something. I can't remember. But, you know, I'm obviously not an Arsenal player retweeting a Spurs account. So that would be a little bit different, wouldn't it?
No, I don't think we'd be overjoyed with that. But funny, nonetheless, from
it is quite funny. There was something else that was going on. Oh, yeah, last night. Did you watch your Match of the Day 2, by any chance?
I didn't, actually, no.
Right, so Match of the Day 2, at the end of the Liverpool game, when Jurgen Klopp was making his scary half his lower jaw's detached face, you know that when he goes crazy, it's like, ah. You can almost hear the, like, of his jaw dislocating, just to show how angry he is. And then they showed them doing this kind of lining up in front of the fans thing that apparently
that was
weird. Yeah, I thought it was weird. I don't care if they do it in Germany. You look like dickheads doing it, right? You've just drawn with West Brom. And look, I'm all for appreciating the fans. I think it's great when the players acknowledge the fans. But that kind of thing... it just looked a bit weird. So I happened to tweet about it last night and got quite a number of Liverpool fans going, "Well, you sometimes fly a flag in your library." It's like, what? Oh, the draw started. Yeah, that was crazy, Liverpool fans. Ghent versus Wolfsburg. So there's no, what's the word? Reconciliation with Mick Bentner. So it's going to be either one of the Spanish teams or Zenit St. Petersburg. And it's going to be Barcelona. It's definitely going to be Barcelona.
I mean, Ghent versus Wolfsburg, that's not the glamour tie of the round, is it?
No, not really. But Wolfsburg will certainly fancy that. They'd like a bit of that.
Yeah, they will. I think they're a decent team, Wolfsburg, as well, from what I've seen of them.
I don't think it's been the same since Wolfgang Wolf stopped being the manager, though.
No. That was sort of too perfect, wasn't it?
The greatest bit of nominative determinism in football
since
history.
Arsene Wenger and Arsenal,
yeah,
maybe.
A little bit like that. Real Madrid versus Roma. Okay, so that's Real Madrid out of it. So it's going to be Atletico, Barcelona, or Zenit.
Are you hovering over the book flights to Barcelona button?
No, not yet. But I think I'll go. I mean, if we get there, you know, I'll...
It's not Real Madrid. They've got Roma.
Yep, they've definitely got Roma. So that's Szczesny versus Ronaldo. That could be good. Come on, Szczesny. Right.
I mean, it's tempting just to look at this now, but let's at least try and talk about something else.
Should we? I mean, like what? I'm just sitting here watching Twitter update, going, "Come on, you know, give us something, draw us out, so that we can, you know, this improv kind of stuff isn't going."
Do you want Barcelona?
I don't know that I necessarily want them. No, I prefer not, to be honest.
Yeah,
I'd like Zenit. Maybe I'm just being fatalistic here. But it just feels to me like Barcelona would be our reward. PSG versus Chelsea. Woof. There's one.
That's a good draw.
That is a good draw, isn't it? I'd forgotten Chelsea were still in the Champions League, actually. You know, it's weird. It's weird to see a championship club in there.
But. Yeah, impressive. For someone so you know, locked in the relegation mire.
Yes. Actually, there was a thing some people have asked, and maybe we should just talk about that for a second. What do we want to happen tonight between Leicester and Chelsea?
Well, I mean, I want Leicester to beat Chelsea.
Yes, I do too. I don't care if we get knocked off the top of the table. Yeah. Yeah.
You don't get a trophy for being top December 14th, do you?
No. I mean,
as far as I'm aware. So, you know, let's be top in May. I'm not. It's nice to be top. But I'd much rather see Chelsea lose.
Yes. Yes. Me too.
Good. I'm glad we all agree.
Yeah.
Because, basically...
Arsenal-Barcelona! Arsenal-Barcelona! No way!
Of course.
Who could have seen that coming? Wow. I better do a tweet about that. You know, just because, like, nobody else has tweeted it, you see. Yeah. I'm going to put hashtag told ya. There you go. Wow.
I mean...
Look, I mean, the thing about Barcelona is, right, you know, they're pretty much overrated. There's no question about, you know, who are these guys like Suarez and Messi and Neymar? Apparently they've only got something like 100 and something goals between them in the last 12 months. I mean, it's pretty rubbish.
Yeah. I mean, listen, who is, don't you remember that quote from Costa Rica coach Ricardo La Volpe? Who is Messi? Gentlemen of the press, I present to you Joel Campbell.
Yes, he found him on the street kicking cans, playing football with cans.
Yeah, who is Messi, he said when he introduced him.
Yeah.
Brilliant. I'm not worried about Messi. I'm not worried about Suarez. I'm not worried about Neymar. I'm not worried about Iniesta.
No.
It'll be easy.
Yep. It's going to be the Joel Campbell breakthrough moment. He's going to do the job. That's it. I mean, look, I don't even know why we're wearing.
I feel a bit sick, guys. I feel a bit sick.
It was fucking inevitable, though, wasn't it, really? Jesus.
Why did we bother with all this Olympiakos nonsense? What were we thinking?
What have you done, Giroud?
Yeah. Giroud, you idiot.
Oh, God.
He's back out of favour again.
Yeah, exactly. Fucking asshole scoring hat-tricks. I mean, for God's sake, why couldn't he miss like he normally does?
I'm so annoyed.
Yeah.
So annoyed. Well, look, it's a lovely away day if you fancy the trip to Barcelona, anyone. Mm. Wonderful place to go. Is it home leg first?
It looks like it was drawn Arsenal versus Barcelona. So,
yeah.
Hey, you know, you remember there a couple of years ago, though. I mean, they were very, very good then, too. And we were worse. I think we were worse a couple of years ago, and they were probably still as good as they are now. Maybe they're a little bit better now, but they were as good, right? And we came within a Bentner missed chance of knocking them out.
I know.
You know? So, look, let's not lose all hope here.
I mean, look, it'll be fun to watch, won't it? I'm just going to think of it as the sort of a, you know, an enjoyable, friendly game.
Mm.
Let's just see what happens.
Yeah, it's good.
Oh,
yeah.
God. Coughlan won't be back, will he?
No. Nor Cazorla, nor Wilshere, nor Welbeck, nor...
It's the showdown between Flamini and Messi that everyone's been waiting to see.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's the football world has been anticipating this battle for many, many years.
Yeah, he's been coming up against Ronaldo in the Clásicos, and that's one thing, but this is a whole other level.
Mm.
Thomas Vermaelen coming back.
Yeah. Yeah.
If he plays football. I don't know if he plays football anymore, does he?
I don't know. I saw an interview with him at the weekend. He said he thinks Arsenal can win the title, which is nice of him.
Mm.
I mean, I guess he's got time on his side to study. I don't know if he's been playing an awful lot, but, you know, who knows who could be injured between now and February, though. I guess it's taking place in February.
A lot of people, I imagine.
Well, I was talking specifically about Barcelona players. You know, I was they might, you know, one of them might fall down the stairs or something. But then that wouldn't make any difference. Yeah, you know.
Conspiratorial. Are you saying Thomas Vermaelen should push one of his teammates down the stairs?
I'm not saying that so much as hoping that will happen, yeah.
Yeah. It seems like the least he could do.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. They just get them into the old Barcelona lab, give them the old, you know, that, you know, and they're all fixed again by magic. Mm. I don't know what it could be that makes them all fit all the time. I have no idea why that happens, but... You know,
spirituality, I think.
It must be mindfulness. They've got like a meditation room, I think, yeah.
A lot of that going on over there.
Okay, so there you go. That's Champions League, folks. Arsenal versus Barcelona.
Delicious. Merry Christmas.
Goodly Champions League to you.
Yeah. So, happier tidings. Aston Villa.
Yeah. It was a really...
Remember that? Remember the heady days of when we were just excited about all that?
Yeah, winning yesterday before, you know, our inevitable doom was brought onto the horizon.
Well, yes, it was good, wasn't it? And we are top of the league. Let's remember that. We are top of the Premier League for now. I mean, if you're listening to this tomorrow, we might not be.
Yeah.
But that's your fault. You should listen quicker.
Well, I hope we're not. You know, if you are listening to this tomorrow... Let's hope we're not top of the table.
Let's go on record saying I really hope we're no longer top tomorrow.
Mm.
I'd be delighted to be knocked off top spot.
Not much of a game, was it, against Aston Villa? I mean, God, they were bad. And we were sort of, I won't say dragged down to their level, but, you know, we looked a bit tired. And at times it felt like we were playing the game at walking pace.
Do you think if we'd been playing a better team, we would have had a very difficult day?
I think had we been playing a team which had better finishers, we might have, because they did have some decent chances. Now, I know we all laugh at Alan Hutton, and I think it's right and it's proper that people laugh at Alan Hutton. It's just kind of ridiculous.
To do, really.
Yeah, you know, there's no point Aston Villa or their managers or anybody else complaining about being bottom of the league when you consistently pick Alan Hutton. I mean, there's no excuse for it. There's no reason for it. But he did put in a couple of good crosses. In the same way that, you see a video or a Vine or a YouTube of a Sunday league player picking the ball up on halfway, he juggles it over one guy, he clips it over another, he turns, swivels, and bashes a volley straight into the top corner, like the goal of a lifetime. But, he can do that once or twice in his life.
A stopped clock is right twice a day, even if that stopped clock is an idiotic Scottish fullback whose head is made of meat.
Mm. What kind of meat would you say his head is made out of? Some kind of carrion?
I was going to say ham, but is that probably too delicious?
Yeah, ham is delicious. Although, what's not delicious? You know those kind of slices of cheap ham that are all slimy and
that have like white, veiny sort of wet bits running through them?
Yes, that's not good ham. Obviously there's good ham and cooked ham and Spanish hams and all that kind of stuff. They're good hams, but those cheap hams that are essentially just reconstituted bits of snouts and entrails, that's not good ham. So it could be that kind of ham. I'd give you that.
I think it is that kind of ham.
Yeah.
It is that kind of ham.
Yeah. I mean, what was he doing for the penalty? And what was the referee doing for the penalty? What was going on there?
I don't think we'll ever know. I think he was sort of flirting with the idea of giving a penalty, wasn't he? He was teasing everyone.
I think he was not giving the penalty. That's what I think.
I think he was too. But what changed his mind?
Apparently, on Match of the Day 2, it's a good job I watched this because now I'm super informed.
Thank God, yeah.
They said that the linesman, not the one on the far side of the pitch in the Villa half, but the one on the other side of the pitch, who was in the Arsenal half and was sort of more or less on the halfway line, he's the one that signaled to the referee that it should be a penalty. Despite the fact the referee is standing, 6 yards away, 7 yards away, looking right at Hutton hauling down Walcott. And he wasn't going to give a penalty.
Bizarre. Very bizarre. It was very clearly a penalty, like I thought, even before you saw the replay, But I guess Walcott was the other side of Hutton, so maybe the referee was a little bit unsighted.
Mm.
Anyway, I guess it shouldn't matter if you take a little bit of time to make a decision if you get it right,
Well, but he didn't get it right, I guess. That'd be the thing that I'd say. He got it wrong. And he was corrected by one of his assistants. I mean, should we then, talk up the quality of that officiating team, or just think that Kevin Friend is a bit crap?
I think Kevin Friend's probably a bit crap. Yeah.
Mm, okay.
Let's go with that.
Okay, but we got the penalty. The right decision was made in the end, regardless of how it was made. And Olivier Giroud got his 50th Premier League goal for the club.
He did. I'm enjoying Giroud as a penalty taker. We talked about it, who was going to step up and replace Arteta or Cazorla is taking the spot kicks. And I think, I'm quite convinced by Giroud so far.
Mm.
Enjoying him.
Yeah, I did say.
And I like a striker taking penalties. It makes sense, doesn't it? It feels appropriate.
Yep. Two convincing penalties, particularly the one against Olympiakos. That was a big penalty. And under pressure... He sealed the deal for us that night to make us face Barcelona. God damn it, Giroud, why didn't you miss it? And we could have conceded in the last minute to a corner. We would have been cross for a little bit, but would have been...
Dear. Destiny, I guess.
Oh, for goodness sake. When will he learn?
And then it was 2-0 before halftime, wasn't it? Yes, Aaron Ramsey.
Mm. What a goal.
The quintessential box-to-box goal.
Yes. Yeah, Michael Cox, Zona Marking, wrote a good piece yesterday on the Guardian website about this goal and how Ramsey is, the archetypal box-to-box midfielder. He won the ball and then took off on a run, and 70 yards later, he put the ball in the net. Brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, we should probably say it wasn't quite in his own box to the other box, you know, if there are any pedants out there, but it was close enough, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was just outside the box to, you know, into the other box. So it's, you know, let's not fall out over boxes.
Okay, I'd hate that.
Yeah.
So, brilliant tackle from Ramsey. A good little pass from Theo Walcott, I thought, as well, in the build-up to that goal, through to Ozil.
And wasn't yesterday the most Theo Walcott performance of all time, in the sense that, right, he made 9 passes in the game. That's it. Just 9 passes. Mm. I thought he was, like, anonymous for periods of the game, for long periods of the game.
Peripheral,
perhaps, would be a better word. Yeah. He I don't think he tracked back quite as much as he could have to help Monreal out. But he wins the penalty. He played a part in that second goal. And he also was onside for the goal that was disallowed. And what a finish that was. I mean, this is just quintessential Theo Walcott. You think, well, he's not actually in the game at all, but he's made a big impact on the performance.
What do you make of him playing on the flank? We didn't really think we'd see much of that. You know, I think only the injury to Alexis has prompted that. But how are you feeling about it? Do you think he's a liability there?
I don't think he's a liability, no. I mean, I just don't think the way that the team plays, it really suits him anymore. Certainly, you know, on the left-hand side, I'm not quite sure that it suited him there. And it was interesting that Joel Campbell was selected on the right. But look, it is what it is at the moment. I don't think we've got much in the way of choice. And as I said, he had a serious impact on the game and the scoreline.
He did indeed. Mm. Great ball from him. And then Ozil, I mean, it looks like a very straightforward assist, but there's a lovely little shimmy in there, isn't there, just before he gives the pass?
Mm. Well, you know what, though? I mean, I think in fairness, we have to bow to the superior knowledge of David Moyes here, because after his 13th assist of the season, it would be fair to say that the jury is still out on Mesut Ozil.
Yeah.
But you know
when's
why the jury's out?
Back?
No, the jury are out on the piss, having a great time, because Mesut Ozil is clearly so good. They're going, we know that Mesut Ozil's brilliant. We don't need David Moyes to tell us that we're
out.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're out with Mesut and Mathieu Flamini, spending Flamini's billions on champagne and cocktail sausages.
Oh, I love cocktail sausages.
That's what all millionaires have. Mm. Yeah.
I love cocktail sausages.
So Aaron Ramsey.
Yes, sir.
What is it now? 3 games in central midfield. Mm-hmm. I think it's 2 goals and 2 assists, is it not?
It certainly is. So,
it's not bad, is it?
It's very good. But it does have an impact on the team as well, doesn't it? I mean, that's the thing. I think it's brilliant what he does in that midfield role. But I also think it's fair to say that we are a little bit less secure than we were when it was Coquelin and Cazorla. So you got to ask: do the benefits outweigh the downsides to an extent? The other point is there any real point in complaining about the downsides? Because it's not like we have any other real choice in there. I mean, what is the choice?
No, that's
it's
it.
To play Ramsey and who? Callum Chambers? I don't think that's it. But I do think it makes what we need to do in January a little bit more interesting. In the sense that if we could find the player who really, really could provide that defensive shield to the midfield, which would allow Ramsey to get forward and to do all the things that he does. I mean, he's an amazingly productive player, isn't he? He tries to make things happen all the time, and he things do happen. He scores, he assists, he creates chances, he'll have shots on goal. And, it's very difficult to ask him to curb those natural attacking instincts.
It is, yeah. And it's frustrating as well, because we don't really know if the sort of defensive vulnerability of the team is because of Ramsey or because of Flamini. You know, we don't really know what it would be like if he had Coquelin in there alongside him, and we won't be able to know that until February, March kind of time. So I think I agree with you. January transfer window is about identifying a player who complements Ramsey and enables that partnership to function in the short term, at least.
Mm. It is a shame that we can't have a massive big Ramcock in there at the moment.
It is. I mean, you know, I've often thought that. Anyway. So then, 2-0 at half time, and basically the second half was kind of rubbish, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I mean, I think we were a little bit... I think we knew more or less that we could hold them at arm's length. You know, they're really not very good, Aston Villa. They've got some players that you just go, how are you a professional footballer?
Like Carlos Sanchez is the one that bewilders me.
Who is that guy and what's he doing?
I don't know. He's an international footballer. I don't know how it's come to pass.
For really. Who, though?
Colombia, I think.
Right.
I think he's like in the Colombian starting 11. I don't know how this has happened, though, because he is one of the worst footballers I've ever seen.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I was impressed by one of his reactions to being tackled by Aaron Ramsey yesterday. He went down and he was rolling around like a really old school divey player. You know the way they used to just like do those barrel rolls. Yeah.
Well, nice to see that. A bit of South American flair.
Yeah, for sure. But that's about
it. He's one of those. Alan Hutton, obviously. Brad Guzan, not great.
No. He looks like he should be a bouncer.
I mean, I don't know what Remy Gard is going to have to do. I think that's five games without a win in charge now. I mean, they look absolutely doomed.
Mm.
I feel like I've been waiting for Aston Villa to be relegated for a really long time. Like, if I think back to those Alex McLeish teams, those Paul Lambert teams, they were hideously dull, some of them. So they've certainly had this coming. But I think it needed the injection of Tim Sherwood to sort of give them that final push.
In fairness, whatever happens with Remy Gard, you would have to say that Tim Sherwood's done a cracking job there.
Oh, yeah.
To get them to that Terrific. Position, you know?
He kept them up last season, but I think that was only so he could do that sort of work over the summer to turn their squad into the absolute dross it is now.
But look, yeah, a good win and a kind of a functional professional win, I think you'd say. A clean sheet for Petr Cech means that he equals David James' Premier League record for clean sheets with 169.
Very good. Not too bad, is it? Not too shabby from Petr Cech. I think he's going to be a good keeper one day if he carries on like this.
Yeah, there's some potential there, I think.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
And elsewhere in the Premier League, it was a reasonably good day for us, or weekend rather.
Very good, really. I mean, the one shame was that Manchester City got that late winner.
Oh.
But, you know, what can you do?
It was a bit of a fluke as well.
I know, frustrating.
Mm.
But, you know, when karma's as kind as to give you the results it did for Spurs and for Manchester United and Liverpool. Yeah, you can't really complain, can you?
No, not really. I mean, that was very amusing, the Tottenham game, because it was 1-0 and I had to go out and then I came back and discovered that it was 2-1. And I thought, hurrah!
Indeed. I mean, look, weren't they on some sort of unbeaten run as well, weren't they? The new Invincibles or something?
Yes, they were, which prompted this this rather great tweet, which I'm going to read out here as soon as I find it, from Gunnar John, at Mr. John Friend, who tweeted, 14 games, 14 games undefeated, 14 games, 14 games, I say, 14 games, 14 games undefeated, coming seventh, the Tottenham way.
That's a great tweet.
That's good.
So that was nice to see. Always good to see Steve McLaren, you know, happy.
Oh, he's a genius.
He's a football genius, Steve McLaren.
Yeah.
He has been the last couple of weeks, beat Liverpool, beat Spurs.
Yeah.
Long may it continue.
Absolutely. And of course, he was the inspiration for Rihanna's Umbrella song, which I think he doesn't get enough credit for. He deserves some for that.
Absolutely. And also, he deserves credit for sort of really sticking with a comb over in an era where, for the most part, it's been eliminated, you know?
It is quite ridiculous, isn't it? Dude, just shave it.
The denial.
Just shave the head, man. Shave it.
No, he won't let go. He will not let go.
Okay, well, you know.
Unlike most of his hair, which let go long ago.
Anything else from the weekend catch your eye, or shall we leave it there for part one?
Tuber Akpom scored a goal.
Good for him.
That's it. Yeah, he hadn't scored one for ages and ages. This is fourth of the season. Got a winner for Hull.
He did start off very brightly there, didn't he? And then obviously had a bit of a dry spell.
Yes, I saw an article from a Hull blogger saying Tuber Akpom needs to sort his attitude out. He's acting like a bit of a big-time Charlie on the field. I don't know how accurate that is, but We shall see. So, yeah, second half of the season coming up for him. Hopefully he can be a bit more prolific. No, that's it. We're just waiting, aren't we? Waiting and waiting for all the injured players to come back. Alexis is in Chile hanging out with his dogs.
Yeah, as you do. As you do. Arsene Wenger spoke about him after the Aston Villa game, was asked who would be fit for Man City next week, and he said, well, the medical staff tell me that Alexis won't be ready, but you know, Alexis being Alexis, you just can't rule it out.
I think he'll play.
I think so too. I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, he posted a picture of himself on Instagram during the week in the gym training, you know, so he must be up to something.
Oh, he's up to something, all right.
Yeah.
He's out there with some of those Chelsea doctors.
He's in the Barcelona mindfulness room.
Yeah. No, he'll be all right. He'll play.
All right. Okay. Right. Well, we're going to take a short break. We're going to do part two with your questions and everything else right after this.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's a brand new year, and what better time to get going with that online store you've been thinking of? Those "I was there when Arsenal actually scored a goal" t-shirts would fly off the shelves right now. And to get yourself up and running, you need Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way through to the did we hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort with thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 a month trial period at shopify.com/arsblog, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/arsblog now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/arsblog. Welcome back to the Arscast Extra. This is part two where we answer the questions that you send to us on Twitter at GunnarBlog and at ArsBlog. James, questions being sort of crowded out by all the reaction to the Champions League draw against Barcelona. But here's an interesting point from Chris Langmead. He says, we win? Oh, no, he doesn't. He says, we lose, we focus on the league, we win, and what a boost to the season in the run-in. Stay positive. That's the hashtag. What do you think?
Nice. Stay positive. Gooner family. yeah, I guess. I guess that's a way of looking at it. I mean, the problem is, let's say we lose, we focus on the league. What if we lose in a manner that knocks our confidence significantly? You know, I'm not sure you can fully separate competitions from each other and be like, oh well, that was the Champions League. Mm. You know. The league's an entirely different matter, and we can immediately, feel all right again. So, I don't know. I think you've got to take it game by game. I think, look, it's going to be very difficult to beat Barcelona, isn't it? Arsene Wenger said himself they're on another level to every other team in Europe at the moment.
Mm.
So it will be a hell of a test. Although I think we've played them twice at home and we haven't lost. Is that right?
I can't remember. I mean,
was there a game where we did lose and Zlatan scored goals?
No, that was a 2-2, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
That was a 2-2. Was that not the one where Fabregas scored the penalty with a with a broken leg. We played them. Andrew Allen actually has posted up the record. So away from home, we drew 1-1 in 99 and then lost 4-2 at Wembley. So that wasn't at home. Then there was a game in May 2006 that I can't remember. Don't really remember that one at all. There was another home game then in 2010. We drew 2-2. That was when Zlatan scored a couple and Fabregas got the goal. And then at home, of course, there was that amazing night in February 2011 when we beat them 2-1 and Arshavin scored that goal and pulled up a T-shirt with a picture of Arshavin on it.
Genius.
Mm.
What a moment. So it's not at home, it's not a disastrous record. It's more the... It's the away from home.
Yeah, the away. 4-1 in 2010. I think that was the one when Messi scored all four goals. He was very good that night. Yeah, I was there for that one. He was very good. And then there was a 3-1, which again, though, was quite tight because we had that Bentner chance. Had he scored that late on, we would have gone through on away goals, I think. So, it's been tighter than people perhaps give us credit for.
I mean, would you rather be in the Champions League? Let's put it like this. Would you rather be in the Champions League and facing Barcelona or in the Europa League with a winnable tie, very winnable tie?
In the Champions League facing Barcelona.
There we go, then.
You know, that's what it's about, isn't it? That's why you're in the Champions League. It's to pitch yourself against the best teams in Europe and maybe to, pull off a bit of a shock or to have, a great night. Even if you don't necessarily go through, to get it, if we got a result at home, there are benefits to, if you can get a good result, as Chris was saying, there are benefits. But you're right as well. I don't think you can separate the two competitions just as easily. I mean, the players will be determined to test themselves against this Barcelona side. It's going to be very, very difficult because, up front, the quality they have is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But, we have some good players ourselves. And, when we go out and spend all that money in January and become even better than we are right now, who knows?
Who knows?
Kim Charlstrom on his way back.
Yeah, that's it. But those players have got to not be cup tied. That's the other issue, I guess.
Mm.
I've
got a perfect idea. Why don't we just buy the Barcelona front three? We can't
perfect
play them, but
idea.
they're just cup tied then.
That's great because I was going to ask Nath. Nath Blogs 2 has asked who will score the most goals against us out of Neymar, Messi, and Suarez.
I think it's going to be Suarez, simply because of that time the 40 million and one thing. And that's all we'll get,
Course.
It'll score three goals and it'll be 40 million and three or some bullshit headline like that.
Lovely, yeah.
It'll be one of them. Imagine it was Busquets or Mascherano or somebody.
I mean, that would be worse.
Or Jeremy Mathieu.
Oh, God, no. If you're going to do something, do it right.
Yeah, what a weird head he has. It's like a, I don't know, it's like a sunburned potato.
Is it?
Yeah. You're just Googling him there now.
I'm just Googling him. Oh, yeah, it really is. it's like the top of it's been lopped off, really, and it's just sort of been sanded down into a sort of recognisably human shape.
But yeah.
He's not convincing anyone.
No, I don't think so.
He's got very fair colouring. He's got to be careful out there in Spain. He wears a lot of sun cream.
Yep, probably a bit of Irish in him along the way there somewhere.
It does look that way, doesn't it? Well, there you go.
All right.
Right, Barcelona dealt with. We'll beat them. That'll be easy.
Yeah, that's it. Then you just,
Real Madrid in the quarters.
Yeah. PSG in the semi-final. And then we'll lose to Ghent in the final.
Exactly. Would you... Four All-Star asks, would you have preferred Real Madrid?
Probably, just because I don't think they're as good as Barcelona. A very, very good team with players that can really hurt you. But I think, obviously there's issues there at the moment. Benitez is not the most popular. The football he plays is probably more functional than Real Madrid fans would like. So he's not terribly popular. Ronaldo seems to be, a bit crotchety at this moment. He's not really doing
certainly.
It. But, it would not be easy, you look at who they have, James Rodriguez, Gareth Bale, that guy, sex tape guy. Who's he?
Sex tape guy, yeah.
sex tape guy, Ronaldo, Isco. They've got good players as well, but perhaps they're a little less frightening than Barcelona, you know?
Yeah.
Would you have preferred Atletico to Real?
That's a really good question. Atletico seemed like the sort of team that we would really struggle with to me. A kind of high intensity, very organised. I think they'd be a really difficult opponent for us. I think it'd be very close between those two. I mean, Real have got the sort of trump card of Ronaldo, who always sort of seemed to perform relatively well against us. But I probably preferred either of those sides to Barcelona, just purely in terms of the chances of getting through to the next round. I think we've definitely got the toughest draw we could have got.
Yeah. Okay, here's a question from Brian at Gunnar Faithful. And he says, of our current front three, meaning Campbell, Walcott and Giroud, who drops out when Alexis comes back?
Interesting question, that. Because in terms of pure hierarchy in the squad, you would say Campbell and you'd say Alexis would come in. But I don't think we've seen, certainly not for a long time, if ever, Alexis, Giroud and Walcott on the pitch together.
No.
I can't remember it happening. Can you?
No, not off the top of my head. I'm sure it has. It must have. It must have.
Yeah, but not many. Not often, certainly. No. It's kind of similar how...
Not from the start, anyway.
No. And I think it's sort of similar to how Arsene was reluctant a couple of years ago to use Podolski and Walcott wide. You know, I think he likes a bit more balance than that. He likes to have, you know, a Ramsey or a Cazorla has been at times in that front three. And I think Campbell offers you a little bit more solidity. I think he goes through a bit more defensive work than Walcott. And is prepared to sort of tuck back in. But I don't know. I mean, I think I'd have to say that it will be Campbell who drops out, just purely, you know, looking at what each of those players brings and the need to, let's say it is the Manchester City match, the need to win that game. And, well, I think it will be Campbell, but I think he's a little unfortunate. You know, I think he's had a good run in the side, but I just think those players are higher in Arsene Wenger's thoughts at the moment. What do you think?
Do you not think that he might, with the addition of Alexis, try and do what he did earlier in the season by rotating Giroud and Walcott more than leaving out Campbell?
Maybe.
Because obviously we know that Giroud, as a player, he's in good form, but he does seem to suffer from fatigue in the sense that, you know, there's a lot expected of him, and he plays a very physical game. You know, he's up against centre halves, he's scrapping and fighting the whole time, and that can tend to dampen his effectiveness to a certain extent. Whereas if you rotate him a little bit with Walcott, you've got Walcott's different qualities up front, which we know about, and that have proved very successful at times this season, and B, then you've got Giroud either as an option from the bench or as somebody who can start a game when Walcott needs to come out.
I think it will go back that way. I think the idea is to get Walcott back through the middle. But just thinking in the short term about this City match, I think actually, if you'd asked Arsene Wenger a few weeks ago, he probably would have envisaged that being a game which he'd start Walcott up front, like he did for the Manchester United game at the Emirates Stadium. However, Giroud's in such good form in the last few games, his goal record's been that good, I don't really think you can justify taking him out of the side. So that presents you with a bit of a problem, really. I mean, do you leave Walcott on the bench?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe you do.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, it is a tricky one, I think, because I still don't know that he necessarily trusts Walcott to play. Like, if Alexis is back, he's playing on the left. He just doesn't want to play Walcott on the right. I mean, I don't think he sees Walcott and Bellerin as compatible.
Well, that could be a big part of it, that he just doesn't see that functions as a partnership.
What about Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain?
Well, there's a question here from at Demon Gooner, who sounds like a frankly terrifying individual.
He could be just demonic in his support of the Arsenal rather than an actual demon. And we better take care just to answer his question correctly in case he is a real-life demon.
I'll just see if he's got a bio that explains. No, it just says Highbury, so unclear. But he asks, question, we all love the Ox, But what the fuck has happened to him?
I think he's just at a point in his career where he's hit this sort of weird plateau. There were a couple of times, weren't there, on Sunday against Aston Villa where he had some good runs and he got himself in good positions and just the final touch or the final decision wasn't quite right, you know? And it feels
like he was just... Yeah, it felt like he was just running into tackles at times. Like he would, you know, as I say, accelerate off, and you'd sense an opportunity if he released the ball at the right time or beat his man, and instead he would just plow straight into the challenge. You know, it was actually quite frustrating to watch, I thought.
Yeah, it was a bit, but it feels like he just needs something to sort of change the trajectory of his season. You know, like there was a shot. I think Ozil and Ramsey they combined really well and set him up. And it was, I think it was a half chance. You know, there was plenty of people around him, but his shot deflected, and the keeper had to make a save. It just feels like if something like that went in, it might just give him that confidence and belief. You know,
yeah.
I think he's having a difficult time. Again, I think it's ridiculous to suggest that, you know, he's done or we write him off or anything like that. But certainly in terms of performance at the moment, you know, the manager seems to be more willing to pick Joel Campbell. And that's not a situation any of us would really have envisaged a few months back.
Yeah, no, it's really surprising. But I do worry for Oxlade-Chamberlain. I think he's 22 now, and this does feel like a time where he needs to kick on. You know, the injuries have presented him with a brilliant opportunity, and thus far he's really failed to take it. So fingers crossed. The problem is that normally he misses half the season through injury, but hopefully this season he can use the second half of the campaign to improve and keep on.
I mean, maybe there's a parallel with Aaron Ramsey, who's now 24, and it was, what, three seasons ago, Ramsey just made a step forward in his career. But it happened in the second half of the season, because in the first half of that season, he'd been pretty bad. He'd struggled like Oxlade-Chamberlain, not through lack of effort. I don't think it's anything to do with lack of effort, but just maybe keeping things a bit more simple might be the idea, and hopefully he can kick himself on from there.
Do you think there's any sense or any chance, this is a radical thought, that if the players who are out at the moment, the likes of Welbeck, Wilshere, come back from injury and seem to be all right, that someone like Oxlade-Chamberlain could benefit from a temporary move to another club?
I don't know that you could risk sending him out simply because of the number of injuries that we've got, you know?
In our locker that we're liable to pick up.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, what happens if Wilshere and Welbeck come back? Great, that's fantastic. But, you know, it's not unusual for a player to come back, play a few games, and then pick up a little ache or strain or a niggle because they've been out for so long. I mean, that's happened, you know, that's not just an Arsenal thing. That's just a fact of a footballer's life, you know, that there's often a rebalancing needed when you come back after a long injury layoff. You've got to, you know, maybe you're overcompensating here or there, and it's not unusual. So, no, I don't think that would be it. But, you know, I think he's got plenty of talent. I think the manager sees the talent in him, and I think the manager wanted him to really kick on this season by the way that he selected his team. You know, for the Community Shield, Oxlade-Chamberlain was the guy who started on the right. He was the guy who got us the goal to win the game on the day. I think that's probably more reflective of the Oxlade-Chamberlain Arsene Wenger sees than the one we're seeing at this moment in time, you know? There's my dog going mental.
There we go. It's your question, I think.
Is it my question? Okay. All right. Here we go. Right. I should have had one here, shouldn't I? Okay. Here, this one comes from KB at MFWB17. So he wants to know, realistically, have we seen the last of the Coxzorla pair as our first choice midfield?
That is a really interesting question, because that seemed unthinkable, you know, a few weeks ago. It was so important to our team that they were both in there together. But the nature of Cazorla's injury, which is it sounds like a fairly serious one, has cast some shadow over that, I suppose. Because if Ramsey really excels in the next few months, it will be difficult for Cazorla to get back into that position, because I don't think you can play Ramsey and Cazorla as a pair. And then it becomes all about how Coquelin dovetails with Ramsey, and we don't really know. We've seen it, I think, once in the first game of the season, and it got abandoned at half time because it wasn't working very well. We were losing to West Ham, so it could well be. It could well be the end, and much will also depend on January and who comes in then. I mean, if Arsene Wenger goes out and spends, I don't know, £20 to £30 million on a top class holding midfielder, maybe that player will edge out Coquelin. You know, because what we've learned from the Cazorla and Coquelin thing is it's all about chemistry. It's all about that pairing. Mm. Much like with Walcott and Bellerin, as we were just saying, it's all about that partnership. So if Arsene finds something that works, one suspects he'll be loath to deviate from that when players come back in the spring.
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, what we talked about Ramsey earlier, you know, I think when you look at what he does from a central midfield position, it would seem bizarre to me to move him again just to, what's the word I'm looking for? Just to sort of, what is the word I'm looking for? I think it begins with C.
Don't know. Just to cunt off?
No.
Just to... God. What does it mean?
Basically, what I'm trying to say is just to get Cazorla and Coquelin back together, just to accommodate them. That's the word I was looking for. I knew there was C's in there. You see what
I
mean?
There were C's in there, weren't there? All along hiding behind an A.
Yeah.
Cheeky bastards.
Fuckers. But yeah, no, I think what Ramsey's doing in the centre of midfield at 24 years of age, you know, we've got to keep him there. And I think what the aim has to be is to find a way to make the attacking flair and the attacking end product that he gives us balance that with more defensive stability and security. I think that has got to be the way to go. And I love Cazorla, I really do. I don't see why it couldn't necessarily work with Coquelin, but I don't think you can wait for Coquelin to be fit at the same time. You know?
Well, and we need cover and competition for Coquelin regardless, irrespective, don't we? So I think that's the deal that's happened. And the other thing, just to wonder about, you know, we talked about Walcott on the right. If you have Ramsey in the centre, does that right wing position become somewhere where you need someone who's a bit more technically and defensively secure? You know, if he's going to be bombing on, you know, part of what enabled Cazorla to flourish in the middle was that he had Ramsey outside him tucking in for support from the right. And so maybe that is an area of the squad where if Oxlade-Chamberlain doesn't indeed step up, you know, there could be room potentially for an addition there to help balance the team.
Yeah, I think I said it on the Arsecast on Friday with Tim from Ars to Mouse that it wouldn't surprise me if we also signed a forward. Really wouldn't. But yeah, we'll have to wait and see. I haven't listened to it yet, but apparently our esteemed podcasting colleague, Monsieur Philippe Auclair, was talking on the Arsenal America podcast about how things are afoot for signings in January. Now, I haven't had a chance to listen. It's the Arsenal America podcast with Chris. And yeah, so that would be interesting. Who knows what, though?
That would be interesting. Let's keep our ears to the ground.
Yes.
This is a question from Aaron Porter at PFunkRVA. And he, RVA, does that mean Raver, do you think? Is that an abbreviation?
I don't know.
I hope it is.
Robin Van Assel.
He asks... Yeah, could be that. He asks, thought Szczęsny was a top number one. Now with Czech, the talent gap is staggering. Do you ever see a return for the pole?
Look, it's difficult to see it, isn't it? Because if Czech can keep going for another X amount of years, we know that Arsene Wenger likes an experienced goalkeeper, really, doesn't he? You know, he had Seaman for years and years. And maybe kept him perhaps a season too long in the end.
Yeah, possibly.
Maybe. And Jens was there as well. And look, Czech's come in and done very well. Szczęsny seems to be doing okay at Roma despite some, you know, ups and downs. But it's difficult, isn't it? Because Szczęsny's not going to want to sit and not play. And I think at some point we're going to have an issue with Ospina as well. That he's not going to want to sit on the bench. So I think that's going to be an interesting situation for Arsene Wenger to deal with. Ospina will obviously play, I think, in the FA Cup, which is fair enough. I get that completely. But will that be enough for him to keep him happy and keep his, you know, he's been a number one goalkeeper at his clubs since he came to Europe. And he's the number one goalkeeper for his country. And I don't know that he's going to want to do another season of that. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how the manager then balances that side of things next season, whether it's Chesney who will come back and feel like he could understudy Cech and learn from Cech, or whether he's going to want to play first team football. But look, at the moment, it's hard to see. It's hard to see. Simply because Cech is playing so well, and the impact he's had on the team, I don't think is I don't think he can look beyond it. It's been fantastic, hasn't it? That opening day of the season aside, he's been fantastic.
Yeah, I think he's been superb, and I can't see Chesney coming back, which saddens me a little. I do think he's a keeper with great potential, and I do think I'd hoped that, you know, a year with Roma might make him suitable to come back, but I just can't see it. I can't see him wanting to go back to being a reserve. I can't see Cech being displaced any time in the next 3 years or so. And I do wonder how deep those disciplinary problems run. I think that maybe his time with the club will be officially over come the summer.
Speaking of another lone player, I was just looking at something there about Carl Jenkinson. A lot of people talking about, you know, Debussy perhaps moving on and bringing back Jenkinson, and the feeling in this particular West Ham site that I was looking at, Jenkinson has been out of the team. He's, I think James Tomkins was playing right back. Right. Who's a centre-half, obviously, and the feeling among the West Ham fans is that Jenkinson has been really poor so far this season. So, one guy says, hang on, pity no one listened to some of us on here during the summer. It was quite obvious last season he was not a Premier League fullback. So there's another one that's, you know, struggling a little
bit
on loan.
That's interesting, isn't it? Yeah, I saw he'd fallen out of the side. I mean, I think as far as I understand the loan agreement is until the end of the season, so I can't necessarily see that being terminated. But I mean, do you want a player back who's that out of form as well? I don't know. I mean, James Tomkins are no great shakes.
No, he is not.
So it's troubling if he's getting in the team out of position ahead of Jenkinson. Definitely.
Okay. Well, here's one. I think we've got time for one more.
Okay.
This one comes from Nath. This is a second Nath of the show, but it's not the same one. This is Big Na 92.
Okay.
So he says, he's talking about our German playmaker. He said his name is often pronounced Ozil or Ozil, but yesterday I heard Niall Quinn call him Ozil. So the question is, what's the worst cereal?
Ooh. Oh, okay, I've got one.
Go on.
I think cornflakes are bullshit.
Go on.
I mean, I don't know if I need to. Basically, they don't taste of anything.
I agree completely.
They're just nothing.
Yeah, I'm absolutely with you on this one. You've got to put sugar on them if you want them to taste of anything.
Yeah.
And then you're just, that's bad for you, putting all that sugar on cereal. I prefer my cereals pre-sugared, you know?
So it feels less bad for you. It's like, at least I haven't put sugar on it, but actually they're just covered in sugar in the manufacturing process.
Like, surely Frosties are, somebody got cornflakes and went, well, these are a fucking bag of shit. How do we make them taste good? We'll dip them in fucking melted sugar. Frosties.
I completely agree. Cornflakes are a waste of everyone's time and energy.
Yet they remain the world's most popular breakfast cereal. What's going on?
I know. Even Special K are tastier than cornflakes.
Special K used to be like Rice Krispies. Do you remember that?
Really?
Yeah, they used to be like little crispy, little Rice Krispie type things rather than the sort of flakes that they are now. That's what Special K used to be. And then
they changed them.
I don't know.
They joined together in the box.
There might have been some kind of cereal mutation. I'm not sure what it is. But now they're these kind of flakes, which are, I don't know about the texture of Special K. There's something a bit ropey.
Yeah, they are a bit weird.
It's like rope. It's like cereal and rope combined.
I think it is made out of rope. There's not many calories in rope. So I think that is what it is.
Yeah.
But cornflakes, I mean, honestly, when I go to a hotel, which is not often, and they're like, oh, we've got some cereals over there. And I go there and I'm like, cornflakes. cornflakes. I'm like, I see your game here. You just thought, we'll buy one box of cornflakes and no one will ever eat it because it's so fucking shit.
Yeah, but you know what I like sometimes about hotels? I don't know if they do it anymore, but you used to get like the mini boxes of cereal.
Yeah.
They were
variety
great.
Pack.
Yeah, they tasted much better for some reason. You know why they tasted better? Because the boxes are just about 30% too small for an actual real size portion of cereal. You should have much more than that. So you're always left wanting more.
You cherish every mouthful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Not more cornflakes, though.
No.
Unless there's something on it. Sugar or...
Well, that's it. You get there, and all of a sudden, like, the Cocoa Pops are gone. The Frosties are gone. Ricicles. Oh, God, I used to love Ricicles. They were the best. I loved Ricicles.
They were good.
Can you get them anymore? I don't know that you can. I don't know.
I think they were, like, too sweet. I think they made kids go mad or something.
Well, give them drugs to stop them going mad. To, you know, to solve their sugar-based attention deficit disorder, just give them pills.
Exactly. If they've had an upper from the, you know, cereal, give them a downer.
Yeah.
That's how it works. That's fine.
It's the way it should work. What's your favourite cereal?
I mean, these days I have sort of like grown-up cereals, you know, like sort of muesli granola-y type
granola,
affairs.
Granola! Granola!
Yeah. That's right.
Granola!
That's right. A mature response there to the granola revelations. But if I had to choose, I'd say, I mean, I don't think you can really look past Frosties. I sort of don't really allow myself them anymore.
Mm. Yeah, I'm good at Frosties.
Foolproof.
I quite like Crunchy Nut Cornflakes as well because, you know, they're
brilliant.
They've turned something shit into something that's actually quite good, you know?
They've made, you know, chicken soup out of chicken shit.
Mm. In a sense.
I hate that fucking chicken on the cornflakes box. I'm sick of him. I want to see him fight Tony the Tiger.
But there's only going to be one winner. There's only one winner there. Tiger versus chicken. Yeah. But what about...
I mean, that tells you everything you need to know.
What about if Tony the Tiger fought Coco the monkey? Like monkeys.
Coco's got all his little mates. He's got all his little mates, hasn't he? Isn't there like all different animals who also like Coco Pops?
Like Rhiny the Rhino and Oxy
the Ox.
I'm
sure he's got mates like that.
Yeah.
Although I might be thinking of the monkey from the Umbongo ads now.
I don't know about
I'm not
that.
Saying... I mean, yeah. Do you remember Umbongo?
I do.
They
I think
it
was
in the Congo. It's sort of a racist juice drink.
Yeah, it was quite racist, actually, yeah. Not as racist as the Kiora ad. I think that was quite racist as well.
Was it?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Do you not remember that one? It was too orangey
did it have
for
a
crows.
In it?
Yeah, no, it was the guy who went along going, it's too orangey for crows. But the crows are sort of these stereotypical, a bit like the Disney crows.
Oh, like the Disney crows.
Mm.
I've seen a cricket bat and all that.
I think that was quite racist, actually. But anyway.
Anyway, enough of these racist food products. I want to see that chicken. Or whatever it is, cock, I should say, on the cornflakes box, taken out by a rampant Tony the Tiger.
Yeah, Tony the Tiger hopped up on sugar-based cereals. He's lost his fucking mind. He's so, come on!
He's got a napkin around his neck, hasn't he? That's never explained.
Tony, is it a...
Neckerchief.
Yeah, he's like, maybe he's part of the Boy Scouts. Tiger Scouts, I don't know.
I don't know.
Mm.
I like him, though. So, yeah, he'd probably be my favourite, but I'm going to stick with my granola for now.
Granola!
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay, well, look, we don't play until next Monday, so there's no point us doing an Arscast Extra next Monday. We'll have to wait till Tuesday to do that.
Oh, hang on. Yes.
Yeah.
God, that's a revelation and a half. I hadn't thought about this.
Just days before Christmas as well.
Christmas special.
Mm. Yes.
I guess.
Okay.
That'll I mean, it'll be very similar to all the other ones, but...
Yeah. We'll just mention the word Christmas more often than we do normally.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Okay, I'll be here with an Arscast on Friday, talking about who knows what, but who cares? It'll be there for you to listen to. James and I will be here on next Tuesday. So until then, have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Granola!
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.